It's glad to be back here with you all. Well, last Sunday I was preaching in another place, also mainly young people and young adults. That was the first time I was invited, and you're all blessed. You all got instruments they don't have. Just a tape recorder. Well, they still have this with the computer things. And there's no pulpit, there's only a table. there was very young people and young adults, and I heard that one young person just flew in from China and just arrived at the airport and came. So what I want to encourage you is this: when I come into this building, there is a sense of spiritual potential here, and I want to give you an encouragement is this: you move to this place, while you're having all these instruments, just remember, you know, when a guitarist keep holding on a guitar and playing, you'll never be a greater singer than a guitarist. Okay? So that, remember that whoever, even myself, when I come onto the stage, remember the audience is one. There is one audience who's listening to us. Whether you're playing the instrument, whether I'm preaching, that audience is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is the one that you are playing to. That's the one that I'm giving the sermon, that he is enabling me to do it, not to the people. The audience is one. The other thing, and encouragement, is this. I also noticed that while moving from here to there, there are some who are old and faithful and still remain with you. Give praise to God for their faith, for their faithfulness. They have still stayed with you, and their faith has always been there as a support for the rest for this ministry. You see all the seeds, their potentials. But the potential, that why I say there's a potential? You see, when I was, last time when I was pastoring, I remember I brought in one person who was culturally different from the rest. Is from Philippines, the first one, and the family came, and he decided to stay. This is my family. He grows spiritually here. And then second thing, I noticed that he was singing and leading the rest in worship. And then not only that, he has a friend that I knew that he has brought a friend into the church, and that friend has also grew along, and he was also playing an instrument. So that is a potential. If you continue in this way, just one by one, and you continue to pray that God, that you bring the gospel, we witness to them, the Lord will bring the people as you are faithful to Him. One by one, you fill up the seats. And that's what happened. And the gospel has to be in their context. It's, for example, you use, young people use Facebook, social media. I don't. So your social media and Facebook is a context of communication. That's where your gospel goes through. But it's not in my context. Mine is face-to-face, not Facebook. So so mine is old school. So if I'm with the Hong Kong people, Hong Kong people have a different culture. And because I'm a missionary in that sense, I have to bring the gospel into their context. Into their culture. If I'm going with the Chinese people, China people, I have had to go into their context, the gospel in their context. Young people, different context. So my encouragement to you is this: the potential is here. You're already all set up. All you need to do, and I've seen that you're going to have a survey of the demographics. So my encouragement also is that, first thing, I want to give glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and pray to Him that I have such a wonderful privilege of joining Him in all that He's doing. One is that interim pastor for Eastern Chinese Baptist Church, mainly from Hong Kong, now mainland China. The group has grown spiritually, the young adults, because through discipleship, Bible study, they are really serious about their Bible study. They are praying even more often. They're even bringing people who are not in their own culture, like Hong Kies. No, they're reaching out to different cultures as well. and bringing them in. And they were doing out of their own initiative. And in 2 to 3 years, I see that what God is doing. That is it. That's the gospel. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Other things they are doing, and I'm involved in is ESL. I suppose the Lord has humbled me to learn other languages. Because people are coming from different parts of the world. You know, from Korea, Japan, mainland Chinese, Shanghainese. So ESL is teaching them to have to learn English. And at the same time, we bring the gospel. During the Easter camp, it was very fruitful. Half the camp were all non-believers from ESL. Some of them come to know Christ, and we are preparing now baptism. And now we are doing for follow-up first, so that they know how to do quiet time, memory. Our church is focusing on scripture memory throughout the whole church. Scripture memory is important. Scripture memory, Bible verse, meditation, prayer, before they get baptized. I'm still doing mentoring with young pastors, new one. I'm also a missionary worker, missionary who is new, and also mentoring teaching elders who have Muslim background, and also at the MST, Melbourne School of Theology, where I do worship in the morning and prayer. But the new graduates, final year student or new graduates, keep coming to me for mentoring. So I'm mentoring new workers for the Lord. So pray with me. Another thing that a vicar from Anglican church calling me to do, they want to plant a church. The reason is, it's an Anglo-Saxon church. But the properties around the neighborhood has all been bought over by non-English speaking people. And therefore the demographics has completely changed. So the vicar said, yeah, we need to plant another church for all the non-English speaking living all around our church. There's no more Anglo-Saxon suburb anymore. So we already have a play group. We have 60 to 100 non-English speaking coming in. They're now going to start an ESL with the gospel to bring them to Christ and start a fellowship. So it's going to outnumber the existing church, but it's going to be a separate church planted for them. So pray with me in that area, because there are certain people who have fears of what we call the term foreign invasion. So foreign invasion. So they have to overcome those foreign invasion fears. So do pray with me. So today let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to all of us. Father in heaven, You are the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We give glory and praise to you. And holy is your name, and we give praise to you. May the Holy Spirit open our ears so that we can fully understand and realign our spiritual inner nature of you, that all become very clear to us. And the Spirit of God pierce our hearts so that we can respond with wisdom to walk and will be empowered for the ministry, empowered to be your living witness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Philemon is very interesting. It's in the New Testament, and the book is a letter of Paul. And he's still writing to a church. He was writing to one person by the name of Philemon. What is the context of this? Let me summarize what is it about. It's about a slave. Actually, that slave ran away. His name is Onesimus. And he has stolen something from his master, Philemon. And he ran away. And then Paul, in this short letter, is telling Philemon that Onesimus, the slave, has been saved under his ministry. That means Paul has brought him to Christ. Brought the gospel to him, and now he's saved. And now Paul is sending him back to Philemon, the master, where he has stolen things from. And he's asking if Philemon will forgive him and give him the freedom to Onesimus. And I was giving the freedom from slavery. This, in spite of what he has done. Now Philemon, a little bit of background is that he is probably a bishop, a spiritual leader of the church in Colossae, a Colossian church. And Philemon has been brought to Christ by Paul at Ephesus. Remember in Ephesus, he was in Acts, there was he was stayed there for about 2 to 3 years. And Philemon was one of the disciples under Paul. So I see in this story is like Paul to Onesimus, as his Christ is to us. And to reconcile Onesimus to Philemon is like salvation. And Onesimus is the central figure in this story. So I want to take you to look at the verses in this book, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, "If then you regard me as a partner, accept him as he would accept you. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account." Charge that to my account. Isn't that interesting? If you go to a friend's in a restaurant and your friends go there, and then while he saw you having a meal there, he says, tell the waiter, that's my friends in that table. Charge that to my account. It's lovely to hear. It's nice to hear if you are one of his friends. Wow, you charge it that to your account. Nice words, nice thing to hear when you go to a restaurant. So Paul is saying, charge it. Charge that to my account. Christ looks to the Father as we see us helpless and says, Father, charge that to my account. All our sins and all that, charge that to Jesus' account. We see in Paul two things that are of great importance. Firstly, he sets an example of Christ, and so proclaims the gospel in action. So sometimes when most of you were thinking about how to share the gospel, use words only when necessary. You get what I'm saying? When you are showing kindness, doing things out of love and care for other people, it's the gospel at work. Use words when necessary. When do you use it? When they ask you questions. And Paul is one of those who has set an example. Secondly, he lives out the gospel as he preaches. He is not like those who do as I say and not do as I do type of teacher. He lives out the gospel. And we can say that we follow Paul as he follows Christ. We can follow Paul as he follows Christ. And Paul also says, accept him as you would me. Isn't it amazing that life is life, no matter what the actual year is? Life is life, no matter what the actual year is. What was the main need of Onesimus? Acceptance. He needs acceptance. Isn't that the eternal cry of our hearts? Acceptance. See, in preschool, it's not that big deal. Everyone is amazed at the children, how accepting children are. But no matter what you do to them, they will always find a way in their hearts to accept you. A child is an amazing example of Christ's love, unconditional. Jesus has repeatedly said this, "Let the little children come unto me. Do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And Matthew 18:3 says, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." In other places, Jesus also says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus loved the children. He loved their attitudes. He loved the fact that they freely accepted him. See, when Jesus was entering the temple, in the last week of his life, he was entering Jerusalem. And the Bible says that the children were crying out and praising him after he overthrew the money changers. You will find that in Matthew chapter 21, verse 15. He says, "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done," then he says, "and the children were shouting in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David.'" It was the children who shouted. You know what Jesus loves about children? See, you can do many things that may hurt a child accidentally, not intentionally. But they will always find their heart to accept you back. You'll find that the moment, in one moment, they cry and they were annoyed with you, in a half an hour or a short while later, they forget everything. They don't hold grudges against you. It makes me wonder what happens to us when we get older. How do we become so exclusive when we grow up? How do we hold forgiveness and acceptance? Forgiveness and acceptance are so easy with them. But when we grow up, it becomes like things, commodities, or stuff that people must earn from us. It really gets bad in high school, because in high school, suddenly, you are either in or out. The number one struggle of teenagers today is not grades, schedules, classes, or even the almighty VCE exams or HSC in other states. The number one struggle for our teenagers is acceptance. Are they really, all they really want is acceptance. In fact, you and I are the same way. When we go to high school reunions, we tend to tag people with a label. Either we label them because they are either accepted or not. But everyone needs acceptance. It doesn't change when you go to college or when you enter the workforce. People want to feel like they really and truly being something greater than themselves. You don't know how far it is that people will go to feel accepted. Well, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons tell us billions of dollars are spent, not in America, South Korea is most popular, on plastic surgery. Why do we do it? Acceptance. Acceptance that we are still worthwhile. When we grow up, we go through workforce, we worn out, even if life itself is so hard, it chews us up and spit us out, there is still something inside us that we long for to be get accepted. Thought we are completely worn out, looks-wise, physical-wise, and everything, but we long for acceptance. And so Paul pleads with Philemon. In fact, Paul could command Philemon to accept him. But instead, he pleads with, for love's sake, verse 9. You know, God is the Almighty God. He could command us and order us and direct us to love and accept. But no, when you read the Bible, the Lord also pleads with us, urges, encourages us. So the way it is in with Paul to Philemon was, he pleads with him, say, for the sake of love, for God's sake, for the sake of love, accept Onesimus, who ran away and stole your stuff from you. When I look around the world and I see so many religions, but and even denominations, church also have various denominations. Then you ask, why? Why there are so many denominations in the church? Why are there so many religions in the world? But really, you look at the heart of religion, the real heart of religion, the core of it, is everyone goes there, the desire is to be accepted. Because when you go there, you see that people are either doing the stuff, or people are singing the type of songs that they like, they prefer, doing stuff together, same kind of values or belief and things like that. And they're doing things. Or they are familiar because they got friends there socially and all that. But all this, if you look closely, they are longing to be accepted. And why people move from one church to another, or denomination to another, or from one religion to another? There is insight here to be accepted. And you look at it, what religion offers is nothing more than people trying to fit in with God. But we thank God in the Bible is a loving, gracious Savior who is drawing all people to Himself and a passionate lover of souls who freely accepts whoever calls upon His name. I see the name of Jesus, the name by which people can finally be accepted. Since the days of Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, mankind has been trying to find a name for himself, to no avail. They try to reach the planets, the stars. They try to reach, create new weapons. They try to build their own empire. We try to find our wealth. We try to dominate the world with technology and all that. And we presume that we can do it by our own effort to gain acceptance. We can do it to earn our own acceptance, find our own destiny. But to no avail. But the good news is, but the gospel is good news. Because it is never about what we do. It's never about what we do and what we can achieve or accomplish. It is about what Christ did. And because of what Christ did, I'm accepted, you are accepted. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. What makes Onesimus acceptable? Paul's letter to Philemon. The word of the apostle that Onesimus, though he's a slave, run away and stolen and a thief, and stolen from the master, yes, he was worthy of punishment because he's a criminal, he's a thief. He's acceptable now because what the devil tried to destroy through sin in him, God raised up to life through the blood of Christ. When we sing the song, there was one verse, no guilt in life. There's no guilt in life. There's no condemnation. We are set free. You know that in that days, because he's a thief, right? What is the punishment? Is death. You remember Jesus died on the cross? Who are the two on each side? They are thieves. So if master wants to prosecute him, he will be crucified and put to death. And that's the law at that time. But isn't the gospel amazing that here we have Onesimus trying to start all over and worthy of crucifixion? And the letter of Paul is the only hope he has to go to be alive, not to be crucified, to be alive. Now he's sending him back to the master who can prosecute him, bring him to the court and be crucified. He dares to go back, but the only way he goes back was to go back with the letter of Paul. And that letter of Paul, you must be holding on to it. Don't lose it. Don't let anybody steal it. Because if without the letter, there is no hope. And I believe you never let the letter out of sight. It is so important. So in the same way, we should not let the Bible out of sight. This is a letter from God. So are the letters, the book, the Bible is standing before us. It's assurance that what we have believed is never in vain. And it's not in vain, and it's never in vain. That though sin and devil try to disgrace us, try to put guilt in us, God save us. He has set us free from all guilt, and we've never been condemned. We are victorious. We are Christians because Jesus Christ is the conquering King. Don't live as if you are a victim of circumstances. So we have been set free. And that letters from Bible, letters or word, the Word of God, is reminding us along the way, reminding us that you are accepted, you are accepted, I'm accepted, I am accepted because of what Christ has done. And the Word of God reminds us, the Holy Spirit reminds us. So, Paul tells Philemon, firstly, if he owes you anything, charge it to my account. Our sins, charge it to Jesus' account. He pays for it. He shed his blood, died on the cross for us. That he already paid for. Secondly, accept him. Paul says to Philemon, accept him as you would accept me. When we believe that we are forgiven through what Jesus Christ did, when we really truly believe that what Jesus Christ did for has forgiven us totally and completely, you know what that does if you believe that? Then you and I become accepted because Jesus Christ is accepted by God the Father after he died and resurrected. We are also accepted. In verse 21, Paul writes this, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Since I know that you will do even more than what I say. See, Paul was very familiar with Philemon because he ministered to him, brought the gospel, where? In prison. And that's where he was, when in prison, he already ministered to him. See, Paul knew that Philemon is a person who went extra mile. I don't even have to mention Paul here. There are examples of people here who went an extra mile. And I want to give encouragement to those because you should be encouraged by it. I've seen some the elderly ladies who came from ECC and came all over here, they sacrificed the fellowship they had for their age group. They actually plucked themselves out and to follow this group. They made that sacrifice. And they go extra mile. And now that they moved from the old building and to this new building, they could easily decide to go back to ECC where their old friends are, their own age group are. No, they choose to follow God. If God told them to say and follow you and support you because he wants this to be an evangelism station, a station to be a light and witness to the people surrounding in this neighborhood in Springville, they follow. They go an extra mile. And for those you know what I'm talking about, you know that the Lord knows what's in your heart. And God bless you. As you honor him, he will honor you. And great is your reward. And for those who know who they are, just be encouraged. Their presence are here to encourage you that you go an extra mile too. So Philemon go an extra mile in love for Christ. How did he do that? How do we know? Because Philemon not only evangelized, he planted a church. The church was in his house. You know how dangerous it is to open his house and you do not know who comes into your house. He's risking his life. It could be anyone coming in to his house. And there he shared the gospel and preached, and there's a church planted. And not only that, he could be brought to the court, in the Roman court or government garment, because at that time, the garment, the Roman garment is not friendly towards Christianity religion. In other words, you planting a new church, you're setting up a new fellowship, having meeting, you will be shut down. And not only that, the leaders will be brought to jail. That is not friendly towards a new religion like Christianity. And Philemon was not afraid. He goes an extra mile type of person. You know that God is an extra mile type of God. Paul says, I know that you will do even more than what I say. You know how it is that if you go do an extra mile, the people who are faithful to the Lord who comes here and do that extra mile, you yourself be encouraged to do that extra mile. If you have a husband and wife relationship, one of your partners is prepared to lead and do an extra mile, the other half partner, the other person, will do an extra mile too. And as a result, what will happen? Both will go extra miles. So, if your friends say, we want to do an extra mile, we are not happy, not satisfied, just worshipping here on Sunday, come on Sunday, we want to do extra mile, we want to reach out to our friends through my social media, and I'm not afraid to proclaim that I believe the Lord. And I saw on YouTube, someone was fearless proclaiming the testimony of the conversion. And mind you, it was a Muslim who has converted. And mind you, because you put on YouTube, how many millions around the world know it? And the people who will kill him, because it is a punishable offense, a death sentence, he's not afraid. Extra mile. So God is going to do for those who believe on Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:32, you know, Paul says the same words again, like, I know that you will do even more than what I say. In other verses of scriptures, it also says that God is an extra mile God. Look at this. Romans 8:32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Do you think God the Father needs to send his son to die for us? Why would God need us anyway? Why would God need us? That shows what our God is. He would go the extra mile to send his son that he would die for us so that we may be reconciled to God. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to him, that is to God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Romans 8:18, another verse says this. For I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. See, God is going to do more for us than what we can imagine. He has a place in store for us that will exceed all our expectations. We have no idea what awesome things God has for us. As if forgiveness of sin and redemption were not enough. God give us more. You think Christ died on the cross, resurrected, okay, full stop there. No, God is an extra mile. He doesn't stop there. He goes even more. God gives us more. More than what we can see, what we can imagine. God gives to us all things with Christ. Including the future you cannot control. Time you cannot control, but God can. Yet God can control time. Your future, if you trust in God, in your security, in your future, He already gone before, ahead of your time, before the future comes to be realized. He already arranged things to happen in time. And Paul says to Philemon, I know that you will do even more than what I say, because you are the extra mile person. So our God is extra mile type of God. He always goes to extra mile for us. And lastly, Paul writes to Philemon in verse 22, at the same time, also prepare for me lodging, for I hope that through your prayers, I shall be given to you. This is a picture of life journey. Because when sometime this week when I was sharing with my daughter, and she's been out of job, getting all rejection letters, and she was very down. And the speaker says something which I remember and I share with him. I say, when we focus too much on the destination, we devalue the journey. And her response to me was, life's, the journey sucks. and the journey sucks, not only to say, the life sucks. Though it may be, when I was shocked at the response, but after a while, we were having lunch, a phone call came, and a mobile phone, and it was an offer for a job for her. And you know what? Her face changed. Completely changed. I say it's different face. You have plastic surgery or what? It's completely changed. I say, what happened when you put your trust in God? And you believe in Christ. Jesus told his masters this. Jesus told his disciples this. In my Father's house, there are many places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, God is saying, the world has to come to an end. Heaven and earth. And when that comes, Jesus Christ is coming again. That is a prophecy in the Revelation, yet to be fulfilled. He's coming again. But why is he holding back? Because he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants everyone to go to heaven. So why can he do that? No, yes. Well, of course we can't do that. When we fix a time on the calendar, we have to make that time. Otherwise, we don't make it, right? But God, time is in God's hand. He's in control. He can prolong it until everyone here heard the gospel. Another thing is that when we are dead, it's not like when we get cremated, it'll be dust and chemicals, a bunch of dust in the urn. I know I recently went to what's called graduation ceremony at Flemington. No, I say I. People come here only to watch races. But I realize people go there for weddings and for funerals. I say, why funeral? Because sometimes they want to throw the dust along the racetrack. Because they are either people who love horses so much that they when they do that, they spray around the racetrack. But I thought it was really weird when I heard that. A bit weird to hear throw that. I heard a beer throwing into the sea, but throwing on a racetrack. So, the thing is that it's not just dust when we finish. When we finish, mind you, mind my word, and God be my witness, that we have a soul and spirit deep inside in our inner being. And there will come a judgment, the living and the dead. And those who believe in Jesus Christ, their names are on the book, they will be rewarded, they will be going to heaven. Those who are not, they are going to Hades, the place where it's torment, eternal torment. So this is something that God is saying. that if you love the Lord Jesus, you have nothing to fear. You, when you die, it's just a shadow only. Just a passing light. Like going to the airport, you go, you exit the passport and you go to another place. You're going to another place. And that place is forever. And it's a happy place. Living happily ever after place. So that is what Jesus is telling them. But in this story, there is a commandment to us. As Paul received Onesimus, as he commanded Philemon to receive him as well, as the Church of Jesus Christ must be accepting the people of this world, mostly of each other. We have to get beyond hurt feelings, disgruntled attitudes, and get down to the basics of Christianity. So I was challenged at the men's conference. They say, is there anything, a question was, is there anything wrong with the church or the preaching of the pastor? If the church cannot love one another and love people and accept people, they all say, there must be something wrong with the Christianity that we are believing in. So for Jesus told his disciples, they aren't going to recognize you for your good looks. They won't notice you for your huge building you will build for worship, or the amazing miracles you will perform. They didn't listen to the preaching or the teaching. And if they don't listen to you, they won't listen to me either. And Jesus didn't say they are going to know you are mine if you preach in King James Version English, if you pray 5 times a day, or you fast 2 times a week, you give a lot to charity and good works. Jesus didn't say they will know you are my disciples because you are willing to do those things for God. No, no, no. Jesus told them in the Word of God, the Bible says that, the Word of God says that, John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The Bible commands us in Romans 15:7, therefore accept one another just as Christ accept us to the glory of God. Church, we are living in the last days. It is time for us to forget whatever we may have against one another, or even in the family, husband and wife, friends. I believe the time is short. Like never before, the world is getting evil and not looking any brighter. And God forbid, even if our faith one day and our worship may become illegal, who knows? In certain countries, gathering like this is illegal. You'll be arrested. So who knows? It is time to start acting like the people we claim we are. We claim to be accepted by God, then we must accept one another in the same way. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We must go that extra mile. We must be willing to receive one another, no matter how they hurt us. And in this small book of Philemon, Apostle Paul's plea to Philemon was to accept this wayward slave, thief. And his plea to all of us is the same way. Freely you have received. Freely you give. And if we are to be the world changers, to have an impact in this community, be a light to Springville community, then we must change the world through the living, by living out the gospel of the good news to those we see in need. We live out the gospel in our own life, in our own attitudes, in our own family, in the French, everywhere. And living out the gospel to those in need. And we give praise to God. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we are accepted. We are accepted because of what Christ did. But not only that, You are a God who goes extra mile. You want us to really experience life to the fullest, even much more. And you are given greater and much more blessings than just salvation and redemption alone. Because we are in Christ. For this we claim your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.